following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker Joan. June. Can I have a do over?
A do over.
What they call a mulligan?
A mulligan. Now, there must be a reason that you are asking that question that way.
Well, today is National Mulligan Day, which that just means, and if there are any golfers or anybody who knows a golfer, they might know about a mulligan. That's where you put down another ball and you're just going to do it over again.
Well, I wish it were that simple. I wish we could do that in life. I sure would have a number of decisions that I made that I needed to do over. Oh, wow. In fact, as I think about that, we happen to have keys. We call them biblical counseling keys or keys for living, and on about 100 topics. And I remember most of the time the topic is listed as a negative, like anger, depression, fear, and domestic violence, abuse, childhood sexual abuse, etc. Yet in this case, I did success through failure. Hmm. And so if you think about needing a mulligan to do it over again, that reminds me of a section that we have under the causes of success through failure, because we have definitions, characteristics, causes, and solutions on 100 topics. So the causes, the result of wrong thinking often is manifested in becoming fearful, fearfulness. And if you hold on to fearfulness, that can keep you from accomplishing what God intends for you. In fact, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline or a sound mind. And my point of that is, I remember intentionally putting a number of things in here, like there are those who can be fearful of ridicule, and it'll shut them off. In other words, they'll make fun of me if I fail. Well, now think about this. Some of you know the term Fulton's Folly. You may have learned that in school. Well, people laughed at Robert Fulton because he had this strange smoking craft, meaning watercraft, chugging down the river. Yet Fulton's Folly became the first steamboat in existence in 1807. And that, that's a long time ago, but that's how they transported not only people, but cargo, all these things later. But if he had succumbed to, they'll make fun of me, especially if I fail, then if he had succumbed to that, he would have never been the inventor of the steamboat in 1807. Likewise, people can be fearful of inexperience. I haven't accomplished everything that I really should. So I've just got to know. I'm afraid people won't believe in me, etc. Well, this phenomenal tenor named Caruso, he sang for his instructor, and he was told his voice sounded like a wind whistling through the window. Wow. But he pursued, he persisted, and he became one of the most famous singers. There are those who have fear of failure. You know, I told you I would blow it, you know, so I shouldn't have tried. Well, Albert Einstein, one of the most brilliant minds in human history, he failed his university entrance exams on his first attempt. Now, imagine that. Here, you're talking about one of the most brilliant minds, and yet, some people don't test well. In fact, some people aren't excellent in school initially. Colin Powell, who died today, mm-hmm. he was not a highly successful student in school. But in the military, he was phenomenal, and I deeply respected Colin Powell. He influenced so many. But so, you know, wherever you've struggled, maybe you need a mulligan. And, you know, I guess I could say that's God's specialty.
That's right.
Enabling you to do a do-over, not that you can change the past, but past should never dictate your future. A painful past, failure in the past, we've all failed, just in different areas. We're all ignorant, just in different areas. But we all have the ability to yield to the Lord and say, Lord, enable me to be the person you created me to do so that I can do what you created me to do. And that's a do-over everyone wants.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their life. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and your support of this ministry. If you have questions about tonight's topics or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address your situation. And you can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and just share with them what are some of the needs that you have, maybe some of the resources that you've heard mentioned here, and they'll be happy to help you access those. We have the keys for living that June mentioned. They're called Success Through Failure, From Stumbling Stones to Stepping Stones. And again, that's available as you call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. 4673. Also, check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. You can find new updated keys for living, the Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources. And it's all there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Well, let's get to our caller for tonight. We have listening in Nevada on Bot Radio Network. Tonight we have Dwayne.
Hello, Dwayne. Welcome to Hope.
Thank you, June. I just wanted to start off by saying that my father, he was a preacher. He preached the gospel uncompromisingly for over 50 years. He was a Pentecostal preacher. Mm. And on August 27, 2019, he tragically died by cop in Stockton, California. His wife, 29 years of marriage, left him for another woman in the church they were attending. He stole a gun, went down there to kill both of them, but it misfired, and they ran in, from what I understand, and called the police. And when they showed up, they said that he pointed the gun at them, and they did what they were trained to do. And I don't know where to go from here. I'm a third-generation ministry brat. God called my dad into ministry when he was 16. And as I stated earlier, I've been preaching the gospel, seeing miracles happen throughout his ministry. And yet he was like the equivalent of R.W. Shambaugh and Oral Roberts in one man. That's how the God worked through him to heal eyes, deliver from unclean habits and spirits and everything. And to have my dad gone, I mean, someone said, it's not the wreck that kills you, it's the stopping. And I don't know where to go from here, June. I mean, I'm like I said, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I've never been married, don't have any children. And I'm going to a church here, trying to find out where the Lord wants me. I have no idea.
First of all, I'm so deeply sorry for the unexpected grief. There is expected grief at times when someone is very ill, and like if your dad had a very serious illness, but and the circumstances were so unusual. They're not the norm. And you said your father was a preacher for 50 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was 69 when he passed. Tragically.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
No, that's very tender. And especially, it sounds as though you had, what kind of relationship did you have with him?
My father was to me the blood version of, to me, what Samuel was to David, okay? And we read in the Bible what kind of state of mind, emotionally and otherwise, it put David in after Samuel died, the triggers, to the point of when he was wanting to bring his men through a date field, and when the man refused, and well, we know the rest of the story on that, and he wanted to remove the head of that man, because I know what everything's a trigger. That for the first year, I didn't know what to do, June.
And I'm still
trying
to
figure out my compass. Words leading me with the Lord's help.
What did you learn the most from your father?
His honesty. Even when he wasn't doing right, he would say, son, I'm not doing right. If I was to die tonight, I'd be in hell, so to speak. I mean, whenever my dad was a preacher, yes, but he lived life. He didn't wrap himself up in a cocoon. It's easy to do. I mean, pick your favorite name of ministry. My dad did not. He lived life, okay? And his boldness and his courage to name sin for what it was, regardless of popular demand. And the miracles that God did through his ministry. I never think I could ever hold a candle to my dad in the ministry. I don't know what the Lord called me into. I'm still searching. I have no idea. Other than to just live the best life for him until I breathe my last breath, whenever that is. I mean, he taught me how to play the guitar when I was 12, and my father, he didn't make anything of it, but he said that he found out 45 years before he passed that he was Elvis Presley's fifth distant cousin. My dad didn't, you know, there's no big deal to him. I mean, some people, when they find out they're related to someone famous, you know what it does to them. So, but mm-hmm. my father, ever so often, he'd play around with it, because my dad did sing, and he sung really good, and you could see little hints of the accent if they have Elvis in my dad, but my dad didn't change. My dad was a real man. He was authentic. Mm-hmm. Rare. Mm-hmm. I can only dream of being this. God using me as greatly as he used my dad. When he was married to my mom, a lot of miracles. My dad was ordained with a certain denomination, Pentecostal denomination, held revivals, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 week revivals, and God worked mightily. Sometimes my dad would start out with the week to see how it worked, and then if it went further, then he would do, but he was always in the churches. One thing that when I was a kid, I was in the kitchen, and I asked my mom, I said, because I was a real fan of this one particular preacher that brought in a lot of people, and I said, Mom, my dad does essentially what this big minister does, but why is it that dad is not in the big auditoriums? Why isn't he doing this, that, and the other? And my mom said, she said, son, that's because your father reaches the people that minister cannot reach. And it settled it for me. But I can only dream of being as mightily used by God as my dad was. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's hard. What you're talking about is you watched him deal not with trying to impress, not trying to, in other words, his focus wasn't, I want to make sure I have the biggest crowds. I think about a phrase that I heard many years ago, bloom where you are planted. Bloom where you are planted. And what that means is there are few Billy Grahams. And I'm talking about the huge arenas. But Billy Graham never thought that that wasn't his plan. But it was God's plan for Billy Graham.
Right.
And it's very important. It bothers me when we are numbers-oriented, meaning look who Jesus spent almost all of his time with. How many?
People.
That's right.
Not very many.
And did all of them hit a home run after he died?
No.
No?
Not all of them, no.
They
were human. They were flesh. Yep.
Well, there was a Judas who, not only betrayed him, but betrayed is a good word. It's not. There were others that denied him, but you know, and yet he invested. This is the key. This is what was extraordinary about Jesus. He invested primarily in the 12.
Yep.
And there was a replacement for the Judas, the betrayer, the Apostle Paul. And Paul didn't expect that. I mean, he was literally killing. He was part of wanting to totally eradicate Christians. And he was participating in that.
Yep.
So even where people start, that isn't the end of the story.
Okay.
Go on. You just want.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll let you finish. Sorry.
No. I want you. No, I'm interested in what you want to say.
I was just going to say, but that doesn't mean that if their last act was a sin, like we all have sinned, God didn't throw him into hell because of that one minor act. I mean, I don't believe that. Only God knows the heart and the mind of a person, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know my dad is not in hell, okay? Because he didn't go by his own hand. He went by someone else's. But it's just really amazing how sometimes the enemy would try to make us think that because my dad sinned that one time, that he's in hell. But I don't believe that. I really don't.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Tell me what you know about what has he shared of When did he, I'll just ask it a different way, did he have a changed life through Christ by his own admission?
Yes, he did.
Okay, at what age was that?
When he was a kid, he was like 10 or, because my grandpa was a pastor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he was always raised in church. And I know going to church don't make you a Christian any more than being in a car makes you a garage. I mean, it makes you fall the other way around, excuse me.
I know what you mean. Just because you walk inside a garage, it doesn't make you a car.
And
just because you walk into a church, that doesn't make a person, or even attend a church, it doesn't mean a person is a Christian.
Right.
So tell me, what is the key for authentic salvation?
Accepting the Lord into your heart first, and the fruits. The Bible talks about that you shall know them by their fruits. And my father had, I mean, not that he wasn't human, he was human. He bled and everything, but my dad did. But as many people came to the Lord through his ministry, it was just phenomenal, sister. And I.
Look at this. I'm gonna focus on this one scripture. He said,
okay.
He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy.
Right.
Now think about that. It's not that he deserved, or I deserved, or you deserved anything. It's not because of the righteous things we have done. That's in the little book of Titus. And that's important, because when I asked, what constitutes authentic salvation? And it is humbling our hearts, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And the word Lord means master, ruler, owner. It's giving him control of our lives. Do you agree with that? And of course, it's accepting that the Jesus we're talking about is the one who died not because of sin, not because of his own actions in terms of doing anything wrong. He literally sacrificially died for us on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And as such, he rose again. So you see the miraculous part of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason I'm saying this, my friend, is how long, this is a question before the break. Now, is it true that a person receives eternal life? Does the Bible say that upon salvation?
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. I want to mention to you the Keys for Living called Salvation, Answering Arguments, Overcoming Objections, also Grief, Living at Peace with Loss. And if you'd like to get in touch with customer support, their number again is 800-488-4673. Now, if you would like to speak with June about something that is going on in your life, and you would like to do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, we encourage you to give us a call at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. And by the way, even if you have called into our program before and been on and talked with June, we want to see kind of an update and want to hear God's glory through your story and how that has turned out. And if you've received help and hope through this program, give us a call there as well. Again, it's 800-NIGHT-17. When you call, leave a detailed message and we'll get right back and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation now with Dwayne.
Well, Dwayne, I know this has been a painful several years because I can hear the admiration and the devotion you had to your dad. And you made a statement that I want us to go back to because I'd like for us to be absolutely clear about what God says. But you said he was a preacher of 50 years. And in 2019, there was an event. I want to clear this up. He obviously was upset, very upset, because what had taken place, help me understand. He was so angry. He was wanting to kill them, but who's the them?
His wife and the other woman. He was trying to get her back, and she just flat out told him, she said, just like I told you I was done, just like I said I was done with the previous husband, I'm done with, you know, she mentioned my dad's name, and she said, when he told her, I was with him, he sent me out of California to go to be with my mom in Missouri.
And, okay, so this is a different woman. Your mom was married to your dad, and then they were not married. Okay.
Yeah, my mom is still in Missouri, and he thought it would be better for me if I went back there, and maybe I'd get my life. He said, son, you just get your life back, because I had nowhere to go in California. I had nowhere to go, nowhere to stay. He said, you go to Missouri, maybe you may be with your mom, get your life back together, probably, you know, get a church, get married, or whatever. But he didn't have it back there, but
okay. Sounds like this was a different wife. Was this a second wife?
Yeah, it was a second wife. Yes, it would be
okay.
So
all of a sudden,
I didn't mean to confuse you. Forgive me.
No. You're doing fine. So then, now did you said and the other woman? So was the wife going to another woman, if you will?
Yes.
Okay. So they were living in. Go on.
And what happened was, my father and his wife was living in Sacramento, but that there was a proposition that didn't get passed, which had rent control. So they lived there because their rent jumped. I guess they were living in an apartment that jumped from $900 to $1,100. So they were going to this church back and forth in Stockton, and they met this woman, and they were younger, and. Well, anyway, they told her about it, and she said, oh, you can come down to Stockton. I have a beautiful three-bedroom, two-bath home. You can only pay $800. It'd be fine. Well, his wife started spending more time with this woman even when my dad was telling her not to go because he was sick. My dad had diabetes, neuropathy, just a whole litany of problems. And he was 69, and she went anyway. And she told him before he died that she lost her love for him 10 years ago.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Was she going romantically to this other woman?
I don't know. See, I wasn't in that circle because I was in Sacramento when all this was
Okay, so all I know, what you told me, though, is that he was hurt, he was angry. Yes. You didn't exactly say those words, but that so he went to get a gun.
Well, he actually...
you said he stole a gun.
Yes, and what it was, the gun that he stole, and talk about honoring your parents, not even knowing what's going on inside of their head, okay? Like I said, I've never been married. I don't have any children. I don't know what it's like to give 29 years of your life to somebody, and then suddenly it's over, not just over, but to someone of the same, that kind of thing. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what kind of mindset.
No, but I understand. I totally get it. So where did he get the gun? Who he stole a gun?
Well, yes, he did. What happened was because before he sent me out to Missouri, okay, he told me, he said, son, you're going to need some protection when you go back there. I said, Dad, I'm not going to need any protection to go to Missouri. So he used that as a defense. He said, son, he said, you're going to be going through five states, and whatever the case may be. And he said, you've never been outside of California. And he said, you don't know who or what you're going to run into when you get there. And he said, especially if someone's running from the law, they'll kill you, take your car, and your life won't mean nothing. And so...
He was being protective.
So you
get a gun, okay?
Yes.
And so he stole the gun from you, meaning he was angry.
I had no idea.
Okay, yes. And you would have no idea. There's no way you could know this.
No.
And then, but you said the gun misfired, and then he pointed the gun at the... So the police were there,
what happened was, this was, the district attorney, they just came out, they came out the port last year, I've been exonerated because, they just say it was a suicide by cop, but what happened was, even to the point of him having the gun to the other woman's head, and when it misfired, because he pulled the trigger, it was one of those 9mm semi-automatic Glocks, and I guess those are not supposed to average them. I don't know, it's beyond me, okay, I'm oblivious to it, all right? But he had me drop him off on Waterloo Road on the freeway, Highway 99, and he prayed for me because he thought he had cancer. So he said he just wanted to die in the hospital in Stockton. I don't know if that's a defense he used. Now, makes sense after the fact, what he was reading. And I said, Dad, well, what can't I just take you to the hospital? I'll spend the time with you, and I'll be with you till your last breath. He said, no. He said, you've never seen anybody dying of cancer. I'm going to spare you that turmoil. He said, and so he told me to drop him off. But before we did, the only way prior to that, I had to stop. We had to make a stop at Denny's because I had to use the lavatory, for lack of a better word. That's the only time he could have stolen it. And then when I got back in the car, he had me drop him off on Highway 99, going north because we were in Chowchilla, and he prayed. He said, okay, son, just stop here. We pulled over. He said, son, he prayed for me, and he said he loved me, and he said he'd see me in heaven. And I said, but Dad, and we started crying, and I said, but Dad, I'm going to miss you. He said, son, just remember the good times, and if anybody asks, just tell them basically what I told you, June, not the story, but, just tell them that you were Pentecostal. If you have any children, tell them your dad was a Pentecostal preacher, full gospel preacher, and he just passed away. And so I said, okay, Dad, and then he got out, and I started heading to Missouri, and then I found out after pretty much until I was almost there, my mom, and that's how she did it. I guess, I don't know if he walked or had someone take him in a car or what. He only had one eye, he lost one eye to glaucoma, I guess, and diabetes, because bad eyes for glaucoma runs in our family on my grandma's side, and so I don't know how he got there, but it was 7 a.m. when I left California, and I left there, and I did exactly what he told me to do, too, and I had no idea honoring my father to the end.
I do.
The Bible says honor your parents.
That's right. Honor your father and mother. Of course, there's no way you could know. Do you at times feel guilty?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
I'm going to say something to you that's very important. Listen very carefully.
All right.
There's no way from everything about your disposition that I could hear that you would ever want to cause your father's death. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and number two, does God know that?
Yes, he does.
Does God know everything?
He sure does.
Okay, so he knows your heart. So, yes. In truth, this is not your guilt. And guess who, I'm just going to say, I know you know who the accuser is. The accuser is who, based on the Bible?
The devil.
The Bible does say in the book of Revelation, this is important.
Okay.
He is the accuser of Christians. Yes. In other words, if he could cause you to live with false guilt, how confident are you going to be in your life?
Not nearly as confident as I could be in the Lord.
Right. So if you believe a lie, and who is the father of lies based on the Bible?
Satan.
Yeah. Satan is the father of lies. So yes. Your dad would be crushed if you believed what is not true. You did not cause. In fact, my friend, you don't even have the ability to cause anyone to draw a gun, to kill somebody, or to do evil. You don't have that ability. Those are individual choices, but that was not even in your purview. You didn't even have any idea. So this is what I want you to do. Every time that thought of that there's this feeling of guilt as though I'm responsible. I'm responsible because it was my gun. No, you were doing, and look, there are times when we can get a gun for protection and just have it on hand. And recently I did that. I don't tell people where it is.
No,
I know where it is. Right, but the thing is, I saw some things that were going on in people's personal property about a year ago, and I have a friend who's a part of the sheriff's department, and next thing I know, I have I have a gun, I know how to use it, but the point is, it is purely for protection. And the bottom line is, that's what's a logical thing for your dad to say, since you were going to be leaving the state. Now, so as an act of love, he told you what to do out of care for you. So you maintain, every time you feel any sense of responsibility, that it is not your call. This was not, you're not responsible for his death. Do you believe that?
I do. And my mom, you know, she's been encouraging me. She's always telling me, son, you got great, because what it caused me to have to do to live, it just threw me into a spiral. I mean, my mother told me it's not my fault. She said, your dad knew what he was doing, and if he wanted to use you, he'd use something else. And,
he was attempting to solve a problem, not in the best way, but this is important.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry, and we thank you for that. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of guilt, we have keys for living that will help you, and we'd like to get those into your hands. Just order them at customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help you access the appropriate resources. And we have keys for living called Guilt, Living Guilt-Free. Again, the number for customer support is 800-488-4673. If you'd rather email, you may do so at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you might have and ask about resources and topics discussed in tonight's program. Their email address, again, is customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Now, let's return to the conversation with Dwayne.
Dwayne, I know that as you're telling the true story of what happened to your dad, and the circumstances all around it. Obviously, this is very personal, and it would create a lot of emotion. But that's part of real life living, isn't it?
Yes.
It's hard. And
yes.
The reason I was camping out or trying to drill down on this, I know you're very much in turmoil, but what I can say is it's vital that you're very clear about what false guilt is, because Jesus said the truth sets you what?
Free.
That's right. Every time you start thinking about, I feel responsible. By the way, feelings come from thinking.
Right.
It's your thoughts that are essential. In fact, the Bible says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
Your mind.
Yep.
So what you allow in your mind is hugely important. So if at times, now if you're all of a sudden feeling, oh, but if I hadn't gotten a gun, if I hadn't, but the truth is, you can't rewrite history. You were doing what was logical in behalf of your dad. Dads that are conscientious are protective, and so there are times to protect you from, I mean, what you described. Yes, somebody could intervene. Somebody, meaning not intervene, excuse me. Somebody could have bad motives. And so it is understandable why your dad did what he did. But so he's not guilty. You're not guilty of that.
Okay. Right.
False guilt is based on a self-condemning feelings that you haven't lived up to your own expectations or somebody else's expectations. But it's basically when you blame yourself. Number one, even though you've committed no wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're sinless. I'm saying about this.
No, I know.
You did not commit a wrong.
Okay.
And false guilt can also be, though, when you continue to blame yourself, even if you did sin and you turned from it, but some people will just continue to blame themselves.
Yeah.
But the issue is that's what forgiveness is all about. That's
right.
What God's forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so,
the thing,
yeah, go on. The thing is.
I'm sorry, Gina. The thing that really, because I was, like I said, I was with my dad. I was right next to my dad the whole time. He was trying to get, and I almost said her name, but his wife back. When he told her, I guess he just told her, and I was right next to him. But he talked about not wanting to go on any longer. But I didn't know what the whole situation was. But from what I understand, he when he told her that he was going to check out, she told him with the tone of voice of hoping that he would do it. She said, "Now." I mean, almost as, and she knew the state of mind that he was in, and I blamed at times. I've forgiven her, but even though she did not have the gun in her hand, and she did not fire it, it was because of her hatred toward me, because of the divorce and who I reminded her of all the time, and she led my dad. She drove him to do what he did, to end up dying by that cop. I guess even though she didn't have the gun, it'd be so easy that if I wasn't as strong in the Lord as I was, June, to hate and blame her and the vindictiveness and the bitterness, but I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Mm-hmm. Even if she was to say, Dwayne, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for leading to your dad's death. I would have forgiven her. I've already forgiven her. I know that it'll be a cold day in the center of the earth before that happens, where she'll confront me and say, ask me for her forgiveness. But it's all, but she, you know, I would.
Yeah, but forgiveness is one way.
For one day, just like me.
Forgiveness is only one way. That's you to another person. What she does is her responsibility, but the issue is, and I'm gonna say this. It sounds to me like he said words like, in essence, I've given up on living, and so it's like she agitated him on. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, and it sounds as though then when the even though he then later had a gun and he was going to use it, but then it misfired.
Yeah.
And somehow the police got there.
Yeah, they ran in and they called the police. And when the Stockton police, the sheriff deputy showed up, there were two of them.
Did he point the gun at them, not to kill them?
From what I understand, because I wasn't there, he put his hand in the air, brought it down as he was coming toward them. I guess he said some words to the effect of, either I'm going to go down or one of you are going to go down. And, you know, I don't blame the cops. I don't hate cops. You know, they were just doing what they were trained to do.
Yeah, no, they are trained. Because the reason I know this type of action, I have a precious friend from the past, and her husband was depressed, and he was a strong man, worked for NASA, all these things.
Wow.
And so he uncharacteristically went and got a gun. She was concerned. I think she called the police. They come, and then he comes out of the woods,
he
pointed the gun at them. He wasn't pressing the trigger, because it wasn't about them. But he wanted to die, and he did.
Yep.
And it's very similar to what you've described. My point is, how did they classify his death?
Suicide by cop.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know where to go from here, June.
Okay.
I don't know what, other than to stay in church, stay focused on leading the Lord. I'm really deep in mm-hmm. church. I don't know, but as far as knowing, my dad's vision was clear. I mean, when he was called to preach at the age of 16, just like another giant mm-hmm. in the faith that I've really looked up to, he was called at the age of 8. You know, their vision was mm-hmm. clear. I don't know. My compass is broke. Other than to stay in the church, and I'm working, and well, not working, I'm just, you know, trying to make my life through this journey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm a college graduate, and, you know, it's almost as if the Lord spoke to me. I don't know for a fact, but, you know, God, when he says something, he always backs it up with his word, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that came to my mind early in that stage when I was in Missouri, where my mom is still mm-hmm. now, she, with her prayers or her financial support, everything, she's always telling me I got grit, that no one would be able to make it like I've been able to make it. But
mm-hmm.
The thought came to my mind that, you know, tragedy doesn't ask for our permission before it hits us, because it'd be mm-hmm. denied. But it only, when we're Christians, it only has the power to hit, it only has the ability to hit us with as much power as the Lord allows it to hit us with. Like Job, remember what he said to Satan? Mm-hmm. He said, you can take everything from him. Wipe him out, pretty near clean, because Job is the equivalent of the Bill Gates of this of today. And mm-hmm. but just don't take his life.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, and I'm sorry to mean to step on you, but so I don't know where to go from here, June. I have
okay.
no idea.
Well, let's talk about this. First of all, just to wrap up what we talked about, would your dad want you to feel guilty and live with false guilt?
Absolutely not.
That's right. So you've got to close the door, and
okay.
that means every time you begin to feel responsible, just say, thank you, Lord, that the truth sets me free. Say that after me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That the truth sets me free.
That the truth sets me free.
My dad would not want me feeling guilty.
My dad would not want me feeling guilty.
And God, you know that I'm not guilty.
And God, you know that I'm not guilty.
Of causing his death.
Of causing his death, because, you know...
Mm-hmm.
And you know, June, if I had $1 million, I would give it right now to have my dad back for 1 hour.
Oh, of course. You know, I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice. So now let's look, since that is not going to be the way it is, but
no.
What would give your dad the greatest sense of peace? By the way, he does not know what's going on. Okay, the Bible says the dead know nothing. A lot of people think that
right.
people are looking
yeah.
over and seeing everything.
Yeah,
no, it would crush
yeah.
it would crush people
yeah.
if that were the case. So, but
yeah.
the point is, I want you to think, if you live your life in a way that is honorable, that's Christ-like, I don't think you could give your dad any greater gift, could you?
No, I couldn't.
Would that not be the greatest tribute to his life?
It would be. And you know what, June? My father, he told me that he would prefer me just live the best life for the Lord before I passed away. He said when I was called, he said, I didn't want to preach. He said, but, you know, he said, but the gifts and calls are without repentance. You know, God cannot repent that he called you. And so he said, son, the best thing you can do is just live for the Lord. Doesn't matter if you get any kind of fame or anything from it. And he said, just live the best life for the Lord, because the rewards mm-hmm. on the other side are going to be greater. And my dad was
okay.
lived in, he
yeah.
was from Mayor of Realville. He was the truth detector, you know.
That's
yeah.
great.
I'm
going to do this.
My dad was telling me, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to do two things. Number one,
okay.
I'm going to send you something on trials, and you are really
okay.
going to respond to the content.
Okay.
And it's being refined by fire. We're put in the furnace, and we're gold. You're gold in the making. But secondly,
okay.
I'd like for us to talk again, if you would like. Yes,
sure.
Because
okay.
I know that, but because we've dealt with a major issue of false guilt, and there is not guilt here. So don't give the enemy any pleasure of trying to defeat you, because this is not what your dad would want. You are saved now for a purpose. So we're going to talk about that when we return, and you continue to hang on to hope.
We will send the Keys for Living called Trials, God's Refining Fire. We'll send that out to tonight's caller free of charge. We do that because of your generous support of this ministry. We thank you for that. And you may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. And if you'd like to give to keep Hope in the Night on the air, you may do so at hopefortheheart.org. Find the donate button there. We thank you for your contribution to us. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the Facebook page. It is called Hope in the Night. Just go there, like that page, and let your friends know about it, too. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying, you hang on to hope.